You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running here on the Refresh radio program. Good morning to you. My name's Bob Arthurs. I'm Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we want to thank you for making the decision to spend the next half hour with us here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And if you'd like to spend more time with us, we have Sunday morning services, Sunday school at 9:30. Worship at 10:30, and then we have discipleship on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. So we want to thank you for tuning in and making us part of your day, and would love if you would honor us with your presence and come and worship the King with us. So today we are going to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse number 4 today, just to set some context. But I want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. They've got decades and decades of experience here in Brevard County, both corporately and individually. They got probably over 100 years of concrete experience. Just amongst the team there that they have. And they've done work for us at the church. They've done work for me at my house. They do a great job. And, you know, Brother Anderson, who's he's had a few birthdays, but, man, let me tell you something. He is still able to get down there and do the work. And I tell you, they're – experience, their expertise, and their work ethic make it a call worth your while if you've got a concrete job that you have coming up in the near future. 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So in verse number 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says this: "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." So we started talking a little bit on yesterday's program about the contrast between the unbelievers who live in darkness, who, you know, are classified as living during a spiritual nighttime, if you will, versus those of us who are sons or children of the light and children of the day. Remember, Jesus is the light of the world. So this is not just that you are out during the time when the sun happens to be shining upon our side of the earth. That's not what this is talking about here. This is talking about living under the sight, the view, and the provision of Jesus Christ, where you and I experience not only the illumination and the revelation, but we also have nothing to hide. So here in 1 Thessalonians 5, there is a stark contrast between the two different lifestyles. And he says, so we are not of the night nor of the darkness. What Paul is saying is believers are to be standing as a visible contrast to the darkness, the secrecy, if you will, the lack of exposure, people who do things without others taking notice of it. That's the way unbelievers operate. Believers have nothing to hide. Now, I will tell you this. I've got nothing to hide. Whenever we have our annual business meeting, our board does spot audits of our books. They they're not preset. They're, you know, at random. Some people have said, well, how do we know you didn't put everything in there just as a certain month? It's like, you can open them if you want. There's nothing to hide. My bookkeeper has been with us for 20 plus years, I think going almost 21 years. And she knows where everything is. We do not have a miscellaneous account. You know, there's some government agencies and they say, oh, well, we don't know what happened to all of the billions of dollars worth of stuff that we no longer have track of anymore. My office manager, she can tell me what filing cabinet, what portion of the file drawer, and the folder that things are in. If I can't answer a question, she can answer it almost without even having to strain her brain. So whenever we have an annual business meeting, we've got nothing to conceal. We're right there, and we present it to our members weeks in advance and say, hey, if you got any questions, come see us. We'll be happy to answer the questions. But for the last 10 years or so, we have celebrated the goodness of God. It's been really, really amazing. God has been faithful. So the world doesn't want you looking into their affairs. As believers, we are not living in fear of transparency at all. And so I pray that on this Thursday that you are living your life not so close to what the world lives that they could confuse the two, but you are living your life in such a way that, like the believers in Antioch in the book of Acts, people say, you're a Christian, aren't you? A person that used to come to our church, now they've moved out of the area, said they were in a grocery store in another country. And all of a sudden, this person approached him and said, you're a Christian. And he said, yes. He said, and he named the government official that wanted to meet him. I mean, they pretty much shut the grocery store down because this government official wanted to meet them. Their reputation as a believer preceded them in such a way. And I traveled with them to that country, and people knew who they were as they were walking down the street because of their faith in Jesus Christ. It wasn't that they were a celebrity. They were a believer that preached the word of God. And so I pray that our character and our actions, our words, all let others know you don't have to continue to live in darkness. You can live in light. Light is so much better than darkness. So verse number 6 tells us the behavior of some of the people who were unbelievers, as well as the behavior of believers and how they are contrasted. So verse number 6 says, therefore let us not sleep as others do. That would be the they that are caught unawares by the day of the Lord, who are looking for a way of escape, and there isn't a way of escape. So they are literally spiritually asleep as they journey through this life, preparing for a spiritual eternity. That's not the way we want to do that. So verse number 6 says, that's the way they're living, but let us watch and be sober. So believers' response to the reality of Christ's return is that we are spiritually awake, that we are spiritually watching, that we're awake and on alert, and we are also to be sober-minded. Sober-minded. In other words, not chasing after a fantasy. You know, a verse in Proverbs says, he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. I don't want to be chasing fantasies. So a sober-minded person is a person who is living their life with a self-controlled mind. They control what they think about. They are not driven by their emotions. They are not driven by the influences of this world, the same things that entice other people in this world. So not consumed with the houses and the cars and the toys and all of that sort of stuff. We're not chasing after that. We're here as ambassadors. We're here as watchmen trying to impact those who are living in darkness by calling them into the light. And so it says, let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. So there are behaviors of the nighttime, and I want to take you up to verse number 5 again. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So we should not be spiritually asleep, and we should not be trying to use substances to cause us to forget about our problems or just looking for a little bit of relief or anything like that. Things that are going to compromise us mentally and behaviorally. It always saddens me when I see people who think that they can control their substances that they're putting into their bodies, and they later discover that they weren't controlling the substances were controlling them. So please let Jesus be your victory in every area of your life, in every area of your behavior. So what does it say? Let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Okay, so there are behaviors that those in the night pursue, and then there are behaviors that you and I pursue. And one of those things is to realize that we are in a spiritual conflict. Now, everybody is familiar, or most everybody is familiar with the armor of God in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians. And it says this in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So that's the more familiar passage that refers to the armor of God. It is not something that is just referenced there. It's referenced multiple times in the scripture. So you need to realize that you and I are in a spiritual battle where there are real spiritual weapons that are used against us, the fiery darts that are quenched by the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6. And so when we put on the armor of God, in Ephesians chapter 6, there's only one offensive weapon there, and that's called the sword of the Spirit, which is a kind of a short dagger style sword is the word that is used there. That's the only offensive. There's nothing on the there's nothing mentioned as protecting our back, so we're not supposed to be running away from the battle. We are supposed to be engaging the enemy and advancing the kingdom of God. And we put on the armor of God because God has provided that for our defense. And so truth is a tremendous defense against deception and against lying. Salvation is absolutely essential. It has protective qualities that benefit those of us who are walking that way. So let's look here at what is described as the wardrobe or the armor that you and I should be equipping ourselves. So I saw something that I've seen a number of times before, and it said something like this. I got on the scale and weighed this morning, and boy, is the armor of God very, very heavy, because that scale was really straining under the weight of the armor. And so sometimes it can be about the perspective there, but you and I, we need to utilize the gifts that God has given to us because they will provide personal benefit to us. So it says here where Ephesians chapter 6 says the breastplate of righteousness, here it says the breastplate of faith and love. So the breastplate was a piece of the armor. It went on the front. It would cover your chest and your abdomen. It would protect most of your major blood vessels. It would help protect your heart, your lungs, your other organs on the inside. And so that breastplate in Ephesians chapter 6, we see that righteousness is something that protects us. The Bible says that we are to live our lives in such a way that if there is an accusation that is made against us, people will say that accusation is so far off the mark that their right standing with God testifies that that accusation is not going to stand up to scrutiny. Make no bones about it. There are people who make slanderous accusations against believers just to try and bring them down. Unfortunately, there are too many instances where people who have been publicly identifying as sons of the day and sons of the light have been privately living their lives as children of the darkness or children of the night. And I want you to understand that when that secret life comes out, that's not a sign of God's wrath. That's another sign of God's mercy. where God is saying, look, there is spiritual hypocrisy going on in your life, and I love you so much that I don't want that to stay a secret. It needs to come out so that it can be repented of, so that it could be dealt with. And so confession, when we confess our sins one to another, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Now, I will tell you this. I believe that should be done in an accountable relationship so that people do not weaponize that against you, because the goal is not to humiliate others so that we feel better about ourselves. The goal is to restore. And so you will see that in Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, this verse number 1, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so righteousness is protective for us. If you're constantly saying the right thing, you don't have to worry about whether or not you've ever said the wrong thing. If you are living a life of obedience, it's going to come out at some point in time that you weren't guilty of the things that you were being accused of. And so I encourage you, live a righteous lifestyle. A friend of mine wrote a book, Righteousness is Not for Babies. It's for the mature. And so you and I, we should have modified our behavior as we've been walking with Jesus. Back to 1 Thessalonians, it describes that the breastplate is not only about righteousness, but it is also about faith. So a lot of people who have been betrayed, a lot of people who've been hurt, who've been wounded, in relationships, they put this closed persona on, because once you've been injured like that, you don't want to ever be injured like that again. And so they live sheltered or shut off. They literally imprison themselves, because they don't want to get hurt anymore. And faith causes us to say, you know what? No matter how many times I reach out, God is able to protect me. No matter how many times I'm betrayed, no matter how many times I'm disappointed, how many times people may make false accusations or things like that, I'm going to continue to live a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. For Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. In Romans, the just shall live by faith. In Martin Luther's day, the just shall live by faith. And in 2023, the just shall live by faith. You and I need to put on that breastplate of faith. And also, it is a breastplate of love. So just as our behavior is protection for us, our faith that compels us to act even in the face of adversity or opposition or sometimes intimidation, it says we're still going to go forward. We're going to do that in faith. So the third element that is mentioned as a breastplate is the breastplate. I guess if you were trying to figure out what this breastplate is all about, it's kind of a spiritual alloy. There's righteousness, there's faith, and there's love. There's love. When everything that we do as believers is faith-based and love-based, and that is done for the benefit of those that we are serving, That thing is going to be glistening. That breastplate is going to be glistening in the light of Jesus Christ. It'll almost be blinding to the people that you are encountering, because that's not the way that the people of this world operate. They don't want to live in a way that is like, I want to live in the utmost righteousness as I can. Most people that I know are looking to, they want to know what the minimal standards are. One point in time I had a job, and there were standards for that job. It couldn't be too shallow. It couldn't be too deep. The machine kind of adjusted itself. Most people are looking for the minimal standards. Most people are not looking for an action that is unconditional love to other people. Instead, they are looking out for their own self-interest. They're operating from all sorts of different emotional motives, and love is not one of them. Believers who are in right standing with God and want to be in right standing with the church and right standing amongst the community so that they can share the message of faith and share the message of love, we are doing that because we are looking out for the best interest of other people. People shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though the people they were sharing the gospel with ended up lashing out against them and killing them. And the prayer was, Father, forgive them. Don't hold this sin against their charge. They don't know what they're doing. And so I pray that you will do that. One more thing here that we'll touch on briefly, and we'll pick it up with greater intensity tomorrow. And that is, and as the helmet, the hope of salvation. Salvation that is described here as a hope, that's not wishful thinking. Biblical hope is not getting up and say, man, I hope I don't have anything bad happen to me today. That's wishful thinking. Biblical hope is a confident expectation that God creates in our heart. And so I have every expectation of salvation, forgiveness of my sins from my past, the ultimate salvation of spending eternity with Jesus, but also that he is going to be the source of my salvation and the joy of my salvation today. That is my confident expectation for myself, and it's my expectation for you as well. The God who provides salvation is right there with you. Walk with him today. You won't be disappointed. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Baptizer by the Jordan Brook.